welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
We thank you for your kingdom, Lord, that you've given us your kingdom. And we pray that your kingdom will be advanced in every single one of our lives. We pray that you'll extend your kingdom through us as a church. We pray that you'll extend your kingdom through your church, Lord, in this town. We pray that you'll extend and advance your kingdom, Lord, through the church in this nation, through your church in this nation, Lord. And we pray, help us to understand, Lord, that we are a covenant people, that you give, you actually give us, Lord, to the unsaved as a covenant people for the gospel's sake. Lord, we ask that you open our eyes, Lord, to understand this today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Unusually, this morning, I don't think I'm going to refer back to Matthew's gospel. Normally, as you know, we're running through a whole series in Matthew's gospel. We're looking at a chapter at a time each week, and I trust you're getting really blessed, challenged, and encouraged by, as you read through the gospel of Matthew. We're on Matthew, is it 19 this week? And it's a fascinating chapter when you get into it. One verse in that chapter says, with man, it's not possible. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And I just want to say this morning, that with God, and this is for a whole load of people here this morning, with God, all things are possible. Do I have a yes or an amen or something? With God, all things are possible. So whatever you find, whatever standing in your way, whatever obstacle it is, or whatever challenge that you have right now that seems to be impossible, because it is impossible for men, it's possible with God.
Amen.
God wants us to be moving in the impossible. That they're called miracles. The Bible's full of them, and God wants your life to be full of them as well. He wants us to be living in miracle territory.
Yes.
And we want to thank God for his miracles, and that make a confession this week as you look at those scriptures and look at the context of some of the things that are in the Matthew 19. But thank God that with God, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
So nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too difficult for him. He wants to lead us on. He wants to lead us up. He wants to lead us forward. He wants us to take it out and into all that he has for us. He doesn't want us to stay as we are.
No.
So just turn to someone and say, he doesn't want you to stay as you are. Just say that to someone. He doesn't want you to stay as you are. Okay? In other words, he wants us to be changed on a daily basis. So that means my wife should be able to look me in the eyes a week today and say, wow, you've changed so much over this last week. That even she will notice the difference. Okay? Living with an old ogre like me, she'll see the difference because I'm being changed every day. And God wants to change us. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. I've entitled this morning, Kingdom, Covenant, People. A bit of a mouthful. Kingdom, Covenant, People. And you'll understand as we read this why I've entitled it that way. We're doing a series at the moment on the kingdom. Jesus said, I give you my kingdom. So the kingdom of God is wherever he reigns. It basically is talking about the king, that's Jesus, and wherever he reigns. So if you've repented and believed in Jesus, which I think everyone here today has, and you received him as Lord of your life, then he's your king. And when he comes into your life, he brings his kingdom, and his kingdom comes and lives within you. The New Testament says that the kingdom of God is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit brings the kingdom, downloads it into your spirit. And so here we are, we're a kingdom people today. We're God's kingdom people, aren't we? With a wonderful king, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Isaiah 49, we're going to pick up at about verse 6. And it says here, indeed he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. Who's he talking about, first of all? Jesus. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, first of all. This is a prophetic scripture talking about Jesus. This was written 800 years before Jesus came, or round about. And it's saying here that he's going to raise up Jesus. Jesus is going to come. and it's to restore the preserved ones of Israel, in other words, the Jewish people. And he says, I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles. A Gentile is anyone who's not a Jew, a non-Jew. So most of us here, I don't think there's any Jewish people here this morning, but we are Gentiles, according to the Bible. And he says that I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. So Jesus is the light of the world, isn't he? He went firstly to the Jews, to the Jewish people, because they were his chosen nation. But his intention was always to go to the whole world, actually to use the Jewish people to reach the world. And because they largely rejected him, he sent the gospel out to the Gentiles. So then the Gentiles preach the gospel, and it goes back to the Jews. And in the end, everything will go back. The Bible says everything will go back to Israel. Everything will do a big circle. God will bring in the harvest of the Gentiles. That means multitudes of people all around the nation, all around the earth being saved. And then the gospel will go back in its true form, in its true power. And there'll be what we would describe as a revival in Israel. There'll be a great turning that will take place in Israel in due course, where many will find that Jesus Christ is the Lord, is the Messiah. Because he came to their land first. He was crucified there. He was raised there from the dead. So it's saying that Jesus is the light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation hates, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you. He has chosen you. That was for someone here today. He has chosen you. He has chosen you. He has chosen you. He really has. He's chosen you. He handpicked you. He called you. He chose you as a person by name. He chose you and he's called you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I've heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. This is now talking about us. To restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, come out, or go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves, or be free. Now let's just unpack this one verse. I just want to focus on this morning, because if you get this, you'll understand what Love Crawley is all about. You'll understand why I'm always gone on about talking to people about Jesus. It's because God has called us to be a covenant people. That's a very grand sounding title, but what it means is God has called us to demonstrate the covenant that he made with us. Does that make sense? So let's just read this again at verse 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. How many of you here today have been helped by the Lord? Well, that should be nearly every one of us, because we turned to him and we cried out to him for forgiveness of sins. We asked him to come and help us, and I don't know about you, but I asked him to help me every day. There's always something that I need help with. So he's come and he's helped us. In the day of salvation, I have helped you. He makes this promise. I will keep you. I will preserve you. Not in a jar of vinegar. But I will keep you. And then he says, I will give you. I will keep you and I will give you as a covenant to the people. What does that mean? It means that, well, I give this as a great example. A lady that Martin and I have met, who we've helped a little bit in her home, saw us in the square, in Crawley Square, some weeks ago, and she said two things that really struck her. Number one, these people are really happy. Is that right? And they seem to be really together. I mean, we would call that unity. They love. They were the two or three things that she observed that were in not just one person, but a whole group of people. They all seem to be carrying that same anointing. And now we've demonstrated some love by actually doing something in our home that says we do really love and care for you because Jesus does. So what's she done? She's actually seen something of the covenant that the Lord has made with us being outworked now in our lives. We are now a covenant people to her. Does that make sense? He has loved us. It's very simple. He has loved us so we can love her. He has loved me so I can love you. He has demonstrated his love to me so I can now demonstrate that love to you in all kinds of different ways. And that's what this love Crawley is all about. Love Eastgrins is all about. It's about us demonstrating his love in all kinds of very practical and spiritual ways. And it says, God says, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. And the reason is here, it says, to restore the earth. It's a restoration work. I'm not going to ask Glenn to come forward now, but just to think about Glenn here got saved. How many weeks ago did you become a Christian? About a month and a half, about 6 weeks ago, Glenn gave his life to Jesus and got born again. What's happened to him is we became, or particularly Nick, who was his friend, who spoke to him about Jesus, and we prayed together. We have been a covenant people to Glenn. We have demonstrated the love and the prayer and the kindness, particularly Nick has, as a friend, and demonstrated the covenant of God that's in his life to Glenn. Glenn then knew he had to receive Jesus, and so he repented and turned his life over to Christ, and now he's living in the covenant. We are a kingdom covenant people, and God gives us, not just as a person now, not just as us as individuals, but he says that you're my covenant people. The church is his covenant people on the earth to demonstrate to the world around us who he is and how much he has really loved us. Does this make sense? And it's no good just talking the talk. But we've actually got to talk the walk, we've got to walk the talk. We've actually got to do what we're speaking about. Because words, we know in society, words aren't enough. There's plenty of words around, but we've got to demonstrate that by demonstrating the love of God in action. That can go from cleaning somebody's window, digging up roots, like Martin and a few other guys were digging up this roots in somebody's garden for an afternoon, to praying for someone who's sick and seeing them get healed, to actually leading them right the way through to becoming saved, becoming believers in Jesus. I mean, yesterday afternoon I sat talking to a man in his hallway about Jesus, and the more we talked, the more he talked back. And he's at a point now where he wants to know more about Jesus. Why? Because there was some practical action that went before it, and then out of that came a conversation. And the love of God is being shown to him, right? Through action and then words. And we need to do the same thing. So on Love Crawley, when we have our Love Crawley day on June the 5th, that's part of what we're doing. It's just part of what we're doing. It's a great opportunity for us to demonstrate as a covenant people together what it means to love, because people aren't stupid. People know. People read us like books. They can see through hypocrisy, they can see through sham, but they can also see the reality as well, and they can see if it's real or not. People aren't, most unsaved people have a lot more, savvy actually than some of us Christians do. It's a fact, because we get used to what we're living in. Yes. We're used to living in the light. We're used to living in the truth. We're used to living in the presence of God. And we can almost, dare I say, take him for granted. Because he's living in us and we're living in him. It's like we're with him all the time. I mean, that's how it is for me. And he's there all the time. But for people in the world, they're living in darkness. The Bible says they're in darkness. And so what they need to see a people of love who are living in the presence of Jesus, Jesus living in them, so that the kingdom of God is actually bubbling up on the inside of them. And when we go out in the workplace, to the school gate, if you're taking your children to school, down to Tesco's or Waitrose or Asda or Marks and Spencer's, do you have any Marks and Spencer's people here? Wherever you go, you're carrying the kingdom. And that kingdom has got to be demonstrated. And people will see the kingdom. The more we step out in love and action, people will see that kingdom. So God says, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. So we're a kingdom covenant people. Just say that with me. Say, we are a kingdom covenant people. We are a kingdom covenant people. And the Bible says here that Jesus says, I will preserve, I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people. So he wants to give his covenant. What is his covenant is all that he's done for us in his love. His covenant was sealed in his blood. That's a sacrificial covenant that he's made. A covenant is a binding contract and agreement that he has made for us. For instance, Bobby said it, I think, earlier. You know, I will never leave you. I'm with you always. I'll never let you go. You're in my grip. I'm with you. I'm for you. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my children. You're my church. So he's not about to let us go. He's going to keep us and bring us into everything that he has planned and promised. That's a covenant. That's a promise that he's made for us. Even when we fail him, even when we go another direction, he is faithful to us, isn't he? Amen. And he draws us back. And he says, I want you to be, I'm giving you as a covenant people so that the world can see what I'm like. Amen. To restore the earth. It says to restore the earth. So there's a restoration work that we desperately need to see in this nation. How's it going to happen? Well, it sure isn't going to happen without the church rising up and taking her place and taking her position in society, in our workplace, in our towns, in our cities, wherever we are, wherever we go. We need to carry that kingdom with us, don't we? Think of Matt working on a building site. He's got a position of, is it foreman? Manager. And he manages a whole big site. That's the kingdom. God's promoted him to be a manager of a great big site worth millions of pounds with a lot of people working under him, and he's actually promoted him to be there to actually represent the kingdom. So they think he's working for the company. He's actually working for the kingdom. He's working for the kingdom. So we should never view our work, our job, as I'm working for so-and-so, I'm working for this particular company, or I'm doing... No, you're working for the King of Kings. If you're working for Waitrose, you're not working for Waitrose. Actually, your real boss is obviously Jesus, and you're carrying the kingdom into Waitrose. If you're a housewife at home, you're carrying the kingdom as a housewife with your family, and all that you do and wherever you go, you're carrying the kingdom. So we are representatives of the kingdom. We are a covenant, kingdom covenant people. And the more we understand what that covenant is, what Jesus has done for us, and we live in the benefit of that covenant, we will give that covenant away. We're to give that covenant away to others. So we're carrying healing within us. We're carrying joy within us. Amen. We're carrying power within us. We're carrying God's word within us. But don't just keep it. Let it out. Let it out into your workplace. Let it out into many different places. I think of Kirsty this morning. That God has raised her up to work in the college. Why? Because he employs us, not West Sussex County Council, but he employs her and has given her position so that she can represent the covenant of the King of Kings, and demonstrate that covenant in Crawley College. With staff there and with students, and she's doing a great job, and the Holy Spirit's using her in that place. So God wants to keep us and give us as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. And I wanted just to read this verse, if I may, out of the Amplified Bible, because it comes out a little bit better, actually. And it says, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable and favourable time I have heard and answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will preserve you and give you for a covenant to the people to raise up and establish the land from its present state of ruin. Wow. So God is saying that the only way that this nation is going to change isn't by having a coalition party. We all knew that anyway. The only way this nation can be helped and changed is actually through Christians, a kingdom, God's kingdom people in this land, rising up in prayer and moving together as one and demonstrating the love of Jesus in very practical and spiritual ways. Amen. So that, because we are a kingdom people, God wants to demonstrate his covenant through his people. And as we pray and as we act, as we pray and put that into action, love action, God says he's going to restore the land. Amen?
Amen.
That's his plan. That's his purpose. That's why we're here as a church. It's God has a call on us in Kingdom Faith to see our land restored, to see our nation come back to God. And it says, and to apportion and cause them to inherit the desolate moral wastes of heathenism, their heritages, saying to those who are bound, come out or come forth, and to those who are in spiritual darkness, show yourselves, come into the light of the Son of Righteousness. They shall feed in all the ways in which they go, and their pastures shall be not in deserts, but on all the bare grass-covered hills. They will not hunger or thirst, neither will mirage mislead, or scorching wind or sun smite them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, and by springs of water will he guide them. Wow. All because God has raised up a covenant people to demonstrate that covenant to the lost. And I believe that God wants to, he is challenging us again as a people. How much do you really, wait for it, what am I going to say?
Love me.
Yeah. How much do you really love me? Peter had those words put to him after Jesus rose again from the dead, when he'd badly let Jesus down. Do you remember he denied him? He didn't betray him, he denied him. Judas betrayed him, but Peter denied him out of fear. But then he repented, and Jesus asked him 3 times, do you love me, Peter? And I hear the Spirit saying this morning to each one of us, so just stick your name in there. Just imagine Jesus, because he is here this morning, you know. By the Spirit, he comes, stands in front, he says, by your first name, and he'll say to you, do you love me? How much do you love me? It's very hard to know how to answer that when the Lord asks that question. Because your immediate response, if I was to ask you, well, of course I love the Lord. But when he asks the question, it comes as a kind of a slightly different angle. Because it demands a truthful, honest answer. How much do I really love him? We had a beautiful little children's book called That Nutkin Brown. What's it called? How much do you love me? I think it was. Have any of you seen it? Nutkin Brown, that character produced by who was it? Sorry. That's it. Yeah. Anyway, in this book, Nutkin Brown is a hare. It's a children's book, by the way, those of you who haven't read it. It's a beautiful book, one of the best books you could ever read. Read to the children and read it to yourself. But it's about love. And so the question from Nutkin Brown to a little, is that the right way? The parent to the little hare is, how much do you love me? And so they have this little competition that goes on. And I think Nutkin Brown says, I love you this much. And then the baby hare says, I love you this much. And then Nutkin Brown says, well, I love you this much. I love you to the moon and back. And so it goes on and on and on. But God is saying to us this morning, how much do you love me? Love isn't about words. It includes words. But love is actually about action. Love is about what we actually do. So if you love God and you don't pray, that means you don't love him the way that you should love him. If you don't read the Word of God, the Bible, the way that you should read it, I'm not talking having to read it out of law and duty, but if you're not reading it out of love, then you've missed the point. God wants you to read the Bible because you love him. And I don't know about you, but the best way in any relationship is to make sure that you love the person that you're in relationship with, because it makes life easy. And God wants, he's challenging us this morning, how much do you love me? You're a kingdom covenant people. God has demonstrated his covenant to us by his love, which was a sacrifice on the cross of his life and his blood and everything he had, died and rose again from the dead and said, here you are, this is my life, I want you to have it. Covenant. And so he's saying to us, he's done a little sort of, he's got us in a corner really, because he's saying, now I've heard it all, I've seen quite a bit, but now I want to see this really, as a church, I really want to see this in action, in a way that perhaps hasn't been in the full sense of what God really wants. But he said, I want to see love in action. I want to see love in action. So is there a cost? Yes, there is. Is there going to be sacrifice? Of course there is. Will it go against the grain of what I want to? Yes, probably it will. Is that likely to happen quite a bit? Yes, it probably will as well. But God is saying this morning. He said, I love you so much. I've given you everything that you need. I want you to give this love away to others. And it will cost you something, because love always does cost something when you give it away to others, doesn't it? Let's turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 17. And I really want to encourage you this morning. I don't want you to feel, cool, crumbs, I don't love the Lord hardly at all. But the Lord is asking us that question, how much do you love me? And if you don't remember anything else about today, just go away with that. How much do I really love the Lord? And let the Holy Spirit help you, because he will. He is the one that pours out the love of God into our hearts, the Holy Spirit. So if you ask the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus that lives in you to help you, he will. And he will enable you then to put right anything that's wrong and to begin to walk in a deeper depth of love, firstly to him, secondly to those in the church, other believers, especially those near you, but the rest of the church, and then thirdly, living in love to those who are outside. That's the flow of love. That's the flow of covenant love. That's, you know, if you have a heart for people out there, I guarantee that you must love God then. If you've got a heart for people out there, you're not doing it out of duty, but you actually want to see people come to know Jesus. Why do you have those thoughts and feelings inside of you? Because you have a love for God. Isn't that right? And so everything is, if you like, everything is up. Everything relates to our love for him. And in John 17, when Jesus prays, and he says, I don't pray just for these disciples alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one. Wow. Unified. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. This is verse 22 now, John 17. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one. So the Holy Spirit's glory, the glory of God, comes upon us to actually enable us to be one. One in spirit, one in heart, one in mind, and one in purpose. That's the Holy Spirit. If we'll let him. Okay? If we'll let him. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Made perfectly one. And that the world, listen to this, that the world may know that you have sent me. So how does the world know that Jesus came? Because he's not here now. Not in physical presence, because he's actually in heaven. How does the world know that Jesus came? Please write your answers on a postcard and send it to the front of the meeting this morning. How will the world know that Jesus is alive? Through us. Through us living out that covenant love, living out that covenant way of living, demonstrating that covenant love in all kinds of practical and spiritual ways. And this is exactly what Jesus prayed here. In fact, this is the greatest form of evangelism, because it's not just about preaching the word. It's not just about telling people about Jesus. Of course it is that, because that carries the truth about who he is. But unless we can back it up in the way that, in the love that's flowing through our hearts and lives, it'll just be meaningless words. But if it's carried in the power of God's love, the word will work, and what we do will work as well. Does that make sense? Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. What's this all about this morning? It's God is reminding us today that we are a kingdom covenant people, and that he wants to give you and he wants to give us as a covenant to people who don't know him, to demonstrate who he really is like. Now, people actually see Jesus through your eyes. People actually hear Jesus speaking through your lips. People actually experience Jesus' touch when you actually perhaps just handshake them, maybe pray for them if they've got a need. But power and the love of God will flow through you. because you've already received Jesus into your life. And God's, I believe God is wanting to wake the church up. It's like the church being a slumber, in a sleep. And it takes a little while for the whole church to wake up. I'm talking about God's church, maybe us as well. But God is shaking the church, waking the church up. Come on, come on, come on. Time is short. The time is really short now. It's time to wake up to really what's going on in the spirit, what's really happening out there. And God's calling people out of darkness into his light. He's actually calling them out now. And he can't do it without using you and me, because he's, in a way, God has limited himself to his church, because we're part of his body. Amen. We're part of his covenant people. We're the representatives of his covenant here on earth. Jesus is in heaven, and he purposely went back there so that we would get on and do the job. So how much do you love him this morning? And how much are you really living with that mindset? Lord, it's all about your kingdom. It's not even about Kingdom Faith Church, actually, in one respect, but we're here for the kingdom as well. But it's all about his kingdom. It's about seeing his kingdom come and his kingdom being advanced through the church, where we live, where we work, and wherever we go. And as a body, Kingdom Faith Church here in Crawley and East Grinstead, we want to see God really impacting the whole area where we live, don't we? And Jesus says it'll happen, but it's conditional on your love, on how you're living out your love for me.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.